Thank you for listening to another Gaslit podcast, the show to help DIYers, new people into the industry, and those who are wanting to expand their knowledge. Each week we'll pick a topic and go into details, and with special guests and listeners' questions answered, we will look forward to some of the conversations. So let's get back to the show. Welcome to another Gaslit podcast. I'm your host, Sean, and I'll be going through the weekly podcast with you today. I'm recording this on Monday the 18th to go out quite late in the evening. We've had such a busy day with the first proper cold snap of this winter happening this week. We'll have lows of -3, I think it is, within the Medway Towns on Wednesday. So a lot of people are turning their heating systems on and realising that some components aren't working. So I just want to run through in this episode a couple of bits and pieces just to sort of give you some hints and tips before getting on the phone and calling out the heating engineers, whether it be your own guys or whether it be calling us out. I would rather we can help people to help themselves rather than charging for call-outs. And I know certainly a lot of people at the moment are watching the pennies. So we can do what we can do to save you a couple of quid. It's all great. Obviously, check out our YouTube channels and our podcast, the other recordings that we do, and our Facebook, Gaslit Kent, on Facebook as well. And there's plenty of information and stuff that have been put on there as well to help you. Anyway, let's get back to the show. Right, so heating systems. So if we go for the most common type, the combination boiler or sealed heating system, be honest, I've probably had mine on since about April and I haven't turned it off since. So all the way through, we've had the heating on because old Mrs. Gaslick here, she does like a warm house. So yeah, we like to keep it, keep the house nice and warm. What the first thing you need to do is make sure we've had a couple of calls already where people aren't turning the controllers on. So certainly if you had quite a new programmer fitted back in the summer with your new boiler, you got to turn the heating on and you've completely forgotten how to use it. Now, obviously, don't forget that there's plenty of stuff on the internet on how to use your controllers, because typically our non-warranty call-outs are chargeable. And we try our absolute best with our customers to try and get them to sort of signpost them to bits of information we have on the internet from our own sort of generated content or from others on how to use their controllers to... Because once you can play with yourself and you can learn how to use it, you learn a lot more than just reading a book or someone telling you how to do it if you're actually doing it yourself. So that's what we try and signpost people to do. But make sure you turn it on. So most combination boilers, the hot water will work okay. But if your heating isn't working, so there's two switches. And if you think about this as just switches, so we've got your thermostat is a switch and your timer is a switch. Now, we do a lot of these center brand wireless thermostats, which are actually programmers and thermostats built into one box. Honeywell make a version called the T3R, and center brand have got one from on license from Honeywell as well, which is absolutely identical. But if you've got one of those, it's great because they're all built into the same box. But if you've got a separate thermostat in the hallway and you've got a timer on the boiler or an old programmer on the wall, they've both got to be calling for heat, as we call it. So make sure your programmer is demanding for heat, so that's turned on, that's ready to go, and your thermostat's turned up to your desired temperature. If you have the mechanical clock on the front of the boiler, you'll find that somewhere there'll be a tiny little arrow, and just make sure that's lined up correctly with the time, the actual time on the clock itself that goes around the 24-hour clock. So once that's then done, you've got the pins in and out if you've got the mechanicals, and it'll be one way or t'other. All depends on what make it is. I'm normally in for on and out for off. That's typically how it is. And then it'll have a little slide switch somewhere. Sometimes in the middle, it'll be a little tiny pin you move up and down, and it'll be naught is off. The little clock symbol is the timer, and then one is on permanent. So if you are getting a bit confused and don't know where you are with it, you can slide it all the way to the number one. And then from the thermostat on the wall, you can control the heating from that side. And then, or then get your heating up and running. So you go to your boiler and there's a selector switch. So during the summer months, so some boilers have a hot water only mode and a hot water and heating mode. So we call that the summer and the winter mode. Alpha boilers have an umbrella for the summer, which is hot water only, and they have a snowman, which is then for the winter mode for the heating and hot water. And you, there's a little button and you just toggle through that on the mode on the Alpha boilers. They love their little snowman, little emoji thing in the corner on the display. So once you have that set, your timer's on, your thermostat's calling for heat, you should have no reason why the boiler shouldn't fire up in the heating mode. And typically on combination boilers with a display, you'll have some sort of radiator symbol will start flashing. And that means there's a demand for heating. If the tap starts flashing, that's normally when you know someone's making a demand for hot water. And combination boilers will only do one or the other. They can't do both at the same time. So if you've got someone that's demanding hot water all the time, like if you're in a children's nursery, or if you're in like a care home where there's constant demands for small amounts of hot water, the boiler has to switch between the two. So just bear that in mind if you're trying to heat your house up and someone says, oh, I'm going to go and run a 25 minute bath and the house is freezing, maybe you want to hold off on the bath until you get a bit of heat in the house first. So then we go to the boiler and then we have a look, and there'll be a pressure gauge somewhere. So I was working on one today. It was an Ideal independent, and it was sort of underneath on the left-hand corner, a bit of a murky-looking pressure gauge. So what we're looking for the pressure, is we're looking for 1 bar cold, and that's the standard, really, across the industry. Now, you can get the cheaper Ferrolis and stuff, and your Volcaras, they'll want 1.5 bar, and some early Alphas as well, 1.5 bar before they'll kick in. So make sure your pressure's correct. And then find out where your filling loop is as well, whether it be an external filling loop to put pressure into the system, or if it's actually part of the boiler. But you should be able to have a look at the manual of your boiler, and that should be able to point it out to you as well. So you go to your radiators and it is stone cold, and your thermostatic radiator valve, or your TRV, is someone's left it in the closed position. Now what happens is this is spring loaded, and as the room temperature varies, there's like a little diaphragm inside. I'll do a video and I'll cut one open and show you how it works. And as it gets warmer, it expands and pushes down on the pin and closes the radiator. Then as the room starts to cool down, it'll lift back up and allow the water flow. But if you manually squeeze it all the way down to the off or the zero position, what that'll then do is hold the pin. Now inside the valve itself, on the water side, is it's spring. There's a spring inside, and the pin then goes down to shield to with a little like an O-ring to seal the pipe off to stop the water flowing through. Now, what can happen is that these can get stuck in the down position. So typically, we'll very carefully we'll take unscrew the head, and you'll see the pin, and give it a little push to see if it goes down. If it goes down, some come up further than the others, then it should be okay if it pops back up again. But sometimes a little tap with a set of pliers on the side, or get your grips gently, you pull it too hard, it will actually come out, and just give it a little pull up. And if it is the case and you've got your heat and demand on, you'll suddenly hear the water start flowing. Now, if it is stuck and sticky, leave the head off for a while and just allow the water to pass through, and hopefully remove all the little sticky residue parts that are on the sort of the face of the seal that's making it stick down. So just get it running. So you do that there, and then you think, right, okay, it's going, and the top is cold and it's warm further down. So now we've got to start thinking about bleeding the radiator. Now this will either be or a mixture of air and hydrogen. So we always go, oh, we've got air in the radiators. Well, I've not managed it yet, but I do try. There are some videos on the internet where people have lit the gas that comes off from a radiator from the vent with a flame, and it actually glows bright orange because it's the hydrogen that's burning off. And basically that's the byproduct of having a really dirty heating system. So don't forget, if you ever bleed the radiators and you're on a sealed heating system like a combination boiler, and if you've got a pressure gauge, you need to top the system back up again if you're taking any amount and quantity out of the heating system. So many times we've been to jobs and we bled all the radiators and the boiler doesn't work because they've got no pressure in it. But also, whenever the boiler throws up an error code, get onto Google and have a look, because that's, be honest, that's what I do, because there's so many boiler codes for so many different manufacturers. You know, no one can really honestly keep up with all the different codes. So have a little Google on it, and if it says low pressure, then start looking at where do I top the pressure up from and give the pressure a little top up. So I just want to run through, actually, on a radiator, you've got two valves. You've got the in and the out, out and the in. These days, they don't really matter which way round they go because they're bi-directional valves. But where you've got your TRV, if you've got one of those, they're the big heads. It goes from 0 to 5 in its typical. And wherever we set up a new heating system, we did one last week. So we'll tend to put the bedrooms on 2.5 to 3 as a number, because that'll run the rooms slightly cooler. And then downstairs we'll have a 4, 4.5 in the living rooms and lounge and dining rooms. And in the hallway, I normally just leave them open to 5, because as you open the front door, the heat disappears. It goes down the hallway, goes all the way up the stairs to the landing. So it's actually heating quite a lot. So I just leave one. The one in the hallway normally fully open at number 5 as it passes through. So your TRV is a temperature limit device. If you think about that, so you'll go and demand 20, 22 degrees on your room thermostat, but each area we can control the amount of heat that we're putting into an area, and we use the TRV for that. So we can then set it to what we want. Now, none of these things are calibrated, so don't think that next door runs theirs at 3 and yours is still freezing cold at 3. They're not calibrated. Even 2 of the same out of the manufacturer box can be slightly different. So just use it as a guide. That's why there's no temperature numbers on there. It's just this 0 to 5 as it comes through. And then the valve on the other side of the radiator is called the lock shield. Now what this does, this restricts the flow of water that can come through your radiator. So if you've got a reasonable size installation, the radiator right at the end of the line, whatever, however big or small that will be starved of water, because radiators and pumps and heating systems are like teenagers. They're inherently lazy. If it can go through one radiator and back to the boiler, it will. And then what we have to then do is limit the amount of water flow on the lock shield to make sure it makes it all the way to the end of the line. So from the pump pressure as it's coming through. So the little tiny ones on the end, if you've had it professionally installed, it's called balancing. There's plenty of videos on balancing on the internet. Basically, do not touch that other end. Just touch the TRV. So if your room's too warm, adjust your TRV down. If your room's a bit on the cooler side, adjust your TRV up. Don't start messing around with the other end, because you could end up with a whole host of problems if you don't know what you're doing. But it's not that complicated to do. We do it all the time here at Gaslek. So I'll do another podcast on balancing. I'll do a little video with it later on. I won't do that tonight, because the time's getting on. So I'm actually recording this from home because I've had such a long day today. I left my house at 4:30 to go to work, and it's 9:15. I'm getting this recording in the evening. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a monster day. Travelled just over 500 miles getting my job sorted. So, yeah, with our commercial clients and contracts. So, yeah, it's all been good. So, yeah, so that's really what to look out for on your system boiler or your combination boiler. Make sure your pressure's up. make sure your timer's on your programmer, and make sure your thermostat's turned up. That's another little question to answer for some people. If you've got a wireless programmer and a wireless thermostat, have a look. Is there a little flashing battery symbol in the corner? Now, these things, they don't last forever, unfortunately. So keep on top of the batteries. Probably once every 2 years, you should be able to change the batteries on them. Shouldn't be annually, be honest. But every couple of years, the batteries will need changing. So keep an eye on any little symbols that flash. And obviously, if the display's dead, you've got to change the batteries. That's the first port of call before writing the whole thing off. Okay, then, guys. Well, thank you very much indeed for listening to another podcast. This is episode 29, so well over the six-month marker. So, yeah, pretty stoked with it all. And I hope this helps some people out there. Hopefully, this audio quality is going to come out. We haven't got the normal podcast suite with the microphones that we have. I'm just doing this from my front room. Hopefully, you can't hear that. So thank you very much indeed. Well, you have a fantastic week, guys, and stay warm in this little cold snap. Next week it'll go back up into the low double digits, but it's certainly going to get frosty. And before you ask the question, yes, I will still be wearing my shorts. You take care, guys. I'll see you soon. Thanks a lot. Bye.